I don't know a lot about youth culture, but I've learned over the years that one of the things youth like is to be on the in side, to be in the in crowd, to have the in clothing, and to be involved in the right things that that make them popular and respected and loved and feel valued. I want to talk a little bit about the word in today, and a little bit about what it meant to be in with God. And certainly, these words from Joel are words that reflect that. You see, God is showing in these short verses in Joel that he will do several things that are in, and one is include. God will include. The first words that we find when Joel is speaking about the day when the Holy Spirit will come, and the days in which the Holy Spirit will abide, are these. God will include all people. All people will find the Spirit of God poured out on them. That means all ethnic groups, of which you and I are in, from all nations from which you and I are from, even the one we call our home and native land now. The next thing that it says in these verses is that it will involve sons and daughters. They will be recipients of the Spirit, as if to say that both genders are going to be equally included. Not all of the faiths of the world make that claim. There are distinct roles and distinct privileges for one gender over another. And even in cultures where sometimes religious practices don't affect it, there's still a determination of very specific limitations on what one's gender can offer. The next thing that it's said in these verses is that it includes the young and the old. Yeah, all ages. Those in the first half of life, those in the second half of life. Access to the Spirit is accessible to you. You're not too young to make the cut, and you're never too old to fully receive it. Finally, slaves. Yeah, every socioeconomic group is included. It doesn't matter what you've achieved, what kinds of liberties your wealth and success have brought you, or how many failures your investments have made and left you with nothing. The Spirit of God is accessible. God includes all people and wants all people to experience this powerful gift. The next thing that we discover about this is that God inspires each group. Let's go back and look at those same verses of 28 and 29 again. We're told that sons and daughters will prophesy. This word in its original language means there'll be a great zestful enthusiasm. They'll have so much to say, so much to share. Maybe you've had a child in your house, and when they come home from an experience that was amazing, they're talking in 10th gear, and they can't stop, and they want to tell you all the details. God said it will be like that. The young will be so jazzed about what I have done and what I'm doing and what I'm showing them that they won't be able to still their lips. It'll be like that in those days. And then the old. You know, the word, it's translated the old men, but this word in its original language isn't necessarily gender specific. It's referring to people who are in the second half of life. Those who've gained wisdom, who've seen a lot of scenes, who've experienced a lot of things. They will be people who have dreams. Dreams are a whole sequence of things. Maybe you've had a dream recently. And in that dream, a series of actions take place, and in one sense in your mind, you can almost anticipate them because it's your dream. You notice you never die in your own dreams? That if you're on the edge of death, you suddenly wake up? Because your mind can't conceive of what comes after that. It has no idea how to process that, and it just wakes you up. Your older people will dream dreams. Those who have the Spirit, they'll have an understanding of the sequence of how things are going to go. Whether it's in their own individual lives or their families or in their congregations or in their neighborhoods and communities, they know how things go. They've lived long enough to see how it works in this world, and they have dreams. They have a sense, that's how that's going to play. I see that if God is involved, that's how that's going to play. I've seen this before. And some of you in the second half of life, if you're willing to admit that you are, you've said that a few times to those younger than you. I can see how this choice is going to play. I can see how things are going to roll out if you make this decision. And we're grateful for their wisdom. And when the Spirit gives it, it's a form of a dream. They can talk at length about how the process will play itself out, because that's how God works in the world. I'm grateful for the wisdom of saints who've walked with the Spirit for years. They've helped me understand what potholes to avoid, at least some of them, when I was humble enough to accept their advice. The Spirit will come on your younger ones, young men as it's translated in the English most of the times, but again, it's a gender-inclusive term, really. It says those in the first half, they'll see visions, like pictures, like icons. They'll have a glimpse, a flash of, oh, we could do this. We could have this. Our church could be this. And I don't know how it's all going to play out, but I sense that it's possible. The Spirit will give you that. And maybe you're a younger one and you've had a vision, or maybe you're not so young, but you remember a time when you saw an image of what could be possible and you weren't sure how to get to point B, but you imagined that it was there and you could pretty well describe what it would be like when we did get there. Yeah. That's what the Holy Spirit will give. Icons, pictures to the younger ones when he's poured out. I'm so glad about these verses and that they happen to come up in VBS. Nothing happens by chance in God's providence. We're certainly talking about what the Spirit may inspire here. And next week, in the midst of our worship service, we're going to have a conversation about the ways in which these images that are before us, these senses about what God is doing across the time in our neighborhood are calling us to, whether it's some kind of Mandarin ministry outreach we've never tried before, or learning how to be more engaged with our young adults in a way that's deeply meaningful and mentoring and helpful and sharing experiences in ways that many of us just don't make time for because we're too busy with our work or our families or our whatever. We're also thinking about worship and how some of the old things need to move on. As always, music is changing, and the way God's Spirit works on the hearts of new people has to sound different and look different, and what that will mean for our Sunday morning gatherings. We're going to talk a little bit about what it means to be kind of a mothering church in Toronto to our brothers and sisters in the Wesleyan congregations across the city. How are the ways we can do that? I don't have the answers. I heard someone say just this week, well, Pastor, you keep talking about this. What do you want to do? And I said, stop the train. It's not about what I want to do. I don't have the whole vision. I've just got a few icon glimpses and a little bit of dreams because I'm somewhere in that middle land of not real young and not too old yet. And I don't know, but I know that when the Spirit is poured out on everyone, we get a genuine sense of this is what's possible for us. This is what could happen here. I'm so excited about what's going to happen next Sunday when you come. Pray this week if you would. And I'm not going to beat that horse any longer, but I am going to pray with all my fervency of my heart that it could be true for us and true for you. And you'll come, and when we break into groups and we start asking you to talk, and I'm not leading them, your board members are, you'll say, you know what, as I prayed about it, I sense this, or yes to this, but not so much this, and I feel like my passion is here. Great, let's move on. The next thing that happens in these verses is found in verses 30 and 31. We're told that God will give indicators. God gives signs. The Lord says, in those days when my Spirit is poured out, there will be signs. Signs not just inside your own sense of what's true, but external signs. And these two verses talk about external signs that we get in this world. The first is blood, fire, and smoke. Yo, thanks. I don't want that sign. We know what that sign means, because across history, that sign meant war. And every place where there's war, there's blood and there's fire and smoke. That's what armies do. That's what terrorists do. That's what violent, angry, vengeful people do. We don't want any more of that, but it reminds us by the Spirit that humans are always at war with each other. And peace never comes any other way but by the Spirit of God. And no matter how minimal that warring may be, whether it's a harsh attitude I hold to someone I can't forgive, or if it's someone I want to shoot tomorrow, war is a part of the human experience. And God says to us, look at the signs all around you. It isn't getting more peaceful. Don't kid yourself. It's getting more destructive. Blood and fire and smoke will always be a part of your human experience. And as you take this seriously, you will discover how much you need my Spirit, the only one who gives peace that passes all understanding, peace that the world can never take it away. All other peace you manufacture will be raped of you, will be taken away from you. guaranteed. Count on it. But it's a sign that draws you to me, the one who gives life and peace forever. Another type of sign is listed in the next few phrases. The sun will be darkened, the moon like unto blood. These are things that happen, as we know from scientific research, when there's an eclipse. The sun is darkened, and the particles that are in the atmosphere when the moon gets in the wrong position look red. That's called a lunar eclipse. It happens every so often. Maybe you've had the chance to see it. But all of nature points to God's predictability. Even when the planets seem out of alignment, God says, I am the one who's given nature. Look at it. It points to me. Romans chapter 1, I have made the glory of the heavens. And as you look to them, you recognize there is a God who has made this in order. The signs of his wonders are all around us. When I consider the heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, oh God, how can I not praise you? How can I not believe that you are the maker of the universe who is firmly in control of it all? And even when unusual things like eclipses or hurricanes or earthquakes or famines happen, God is ever reminding us, I am able to deliver thee. I am able to be your help. Even when nature is out of sync, I am always present. My spirit is always available to you. What hopeful their words there could there be that God indicates, even through these words, fear not, my people, for I am there for you. The next verse is one we love to quote. I've seen it everywhere, haven't you? He is near to those who call out to him. Verse 32, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Indeed, God is interested in the individual, and he saves people one at a time. He brings us into the kingdom one at a time. Jesus came to earth at a specific point in time to bring the kingdom by preaching, teaching, healing, and calling individuals. It's still true. That's how it starts. I'm afraid that sometimes in our Western world, we have a sense that that's all I need. Once I make that personal connection with Jesus, I'm a free agent. I can do whatever I want. But note closely, the verse does not end there. The verse goes on. It says that not only will God hear the individual call, but God integrates the individual into his people. Notice how it flows. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. For on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, there will be deliverance, as the Lord has said, among the survivors whom the Lord calls. Yeah, when God calls, he gathers. He doesn't just empower and you're free to go. He draws us in. He forms us into community. Not just a group of people who gather once a week to worship and say, yay, God, thanks for the gifts, I'm doing my thing. But because God wants to forge relationships that are powerful, that are blessing, that are encouraging, that are even sometimes challenging. Challenging. You see, God is creating a people for himself, and he references Mount Zion because Mount Zion is the place where he told David he would come and visit his people. And he told them all, gather here and keep the feast. Gather here and worship me. Gather here and follow the protocol. Always the gathering. Always the integration, always the creating of a sense of community that God wants to use to be the powerful witness to the world that the Spirit can give. And so the question comes before us again. Have you and I been fully integrated into community? Do we really share our lives with each other? Or are we just praising Jesus because we've been forgiven? During these summer weeks, we've been having a summer Sunday stick-around socials, not because we like the letter S and this is Sesame Street, but because this is the end of the line. God's Spirit isn't poured out just for you to feel good about yourself. God's Spirit is poured out because God is gathering a people. And even though the Spirit comes and washes us to the ends of the earth, it's always got a back tide that pulls us together again. and how God desires for us to be formed by Him, to be in conversation with Him, to be listening to His Spirit through each other. What a beautiful thing it is. What a great thing it is that we also come to the holy mountain, Zion, where He is worshipped. And our worship no longer involves the blood of bulls and calves. It involves the sacrifice of our very hearts, that they may be circumcised to love God perfectly, that we may be vulnerable and transformed by what is shared in these times together. Here's the end game of the power of the Holy Spirit. It's about drawing us in. It's about connecting us in new ways, teaching us how to forgive, teaching us how to have mercy, teaching us how to show grace, teaching us how to live in the love that so astounds the world around us, who love to get, not to be changed. Our musicians are coming, and we're going to sing a couple of songs to worship the Lord as He inspires us, as He includes us, as He has indicated that we should, as individuals, but also as an integrated community, saying, Spirit, pour down on me. Spirit, draw me in. Spirit, make me stick with others, even on a Sunday in the summer like this. What a beautiful thing it is to pray that. What a beautiful thing it is to mean with all our hearts. And after we sing these songs, we're going to go right into our time of corporate prayer. So as we're singing, if you want to come and kneel at the front as you're moving toward God, that'd be great. If you want to stand, if you want to roam around, if you want to kneel in your pew, you do whatever you want to do. There's freedom. There's vulnerability here. You're in the in group, and if you don't know how to be in the in group, I have good news for you. You can find the forgiveness, the grace, and the Holy Spirit available to you as well. Let us pray. Father, we're so grateful for all that your Spirit gives. You bring us in every dimension, and all the signs point to you. Even your prophecy from over 1,000 years ago looks so true again to us today. As we sing, we open ourselves to you, praying that you would speak to us as we offer our corporate prayers through Christ our Lord. Amen. Would you stand as we sing?
We will reign.
in your hymnal at number 148, if you would like to look there. Number 148. This is our song leading into prayer.
Where the Spirit of the Lord is,
and today, even as our children have heard the story, and we have too, we're reminded that you are the one who gives power. You are the one who gives wisdom and vision and insight and even excitement about your work in our world. Oh, Father, there's so much in our world that would seek to pull us down, causing us to feel sadness and weightiness, for sin and death are always at work. And in this moment, we come to you confessing the parts we've played in that, sometimes as individuals and sometimes as part of whole collectives of things that are self-seeking and not righteous in your eyes. Hear us as we confess to you in the silence of this moment the things that hinder you through us. How we remember the words of Peter calling us to repent, to be cleansed. And you said that if we do in fact confess, you cleanse us faithfully from all unrighteousness. Thank you for that. How good it is to stand free with conscience cleared and guilt removed and shame blown away by your loving presence and the new start you offer. We pray from this moment, Father, that you would help us to see with your eyes as we've not done before. We give ourselves as individuals and even as a part of this stuck-together community you've placed us in. Let your love be the bond that cements and seals and radiates your brilliance all around us. We pray for those who are hurting today. We think of our dear homebound members, for Dorothy and Rita and Grant and Norma and Cluster and Avis, Cynthia. We pray for those who are hospitalized, those who are in pain. How wrenching it is. But, oh God, even then, in those difficult and weakened places, your Spirit does bring peace. Bring peace today. Comfort, for you are the great comforter. We pray for ourselves, Lord, the people that you've brought us to love, some of them family members, and they have no thought of you whatsoever. Oh God, how your Spirit can reach even them in their resistance, their hostility towards you,
the things they strive to fill their lives with, hoping for the comfort of some identity that only you can provide. Oh God, in your mercy, forgive them for their errors. Call them back to yourself. Warm them to your spirit again, that they may have the flow of light and love within them that you so beautifully bring. Do it in your perfect timing, but be faithful. For those in our relationships who are struggling with grief and loss, things that they have said goodbye to, friends who have turned on them, employers who've shut the door to them, oh God, we pray for your mercy there. Help us, provide for us in our neediness. We pray for neighbors, Lord, and co-workers, associates, really, acquaintances, as people we don't know well, but people that you want your love to pour into, even through hands like ours, words like ours, actions like ours. Let it be so. Help us to see what you would have us do and be in all the places you take us. We pray for places where peace is sadly missing, especially in places where there's harsh conflict and loss. We pray for the south of Sudan today. We pray for Syria today. We pray for Indonesia today. We pray for other places where there is intense hostility and harm. We pray for those who've been victimized by terror in our world, asking, O God, that through their time of pain and loss, bring them to the greater and brighter light that you provide. Help them to be free of vengeful spirits that lock them into states of hatred. Help us even as we do the same. We're so glad that you offer a better way, a higher way for us. And Father, as we hear your words from the prophet Joel, we're so grateful that you invited us to be in. And some of us in this house today maybe have never prayed and said, I long to be in with you, God. I long to know your spirit, the one who is faithful and true, and over all other spirits and so-called gods in this world. I hear, Jesus, that you are the one who sends. Forgive me. I believe that you are the living one who reigns on high and who will come again in glory. Cleanse me of my sin. Send your spirit to live within me, that I may have this joyful hope, that I may be changed to be more than I ever thought possible. Give me a dream in my old age. Give me a vision in my youth, an icon, as it were, one that would show me this is what I could be, this is what we could be, this is what you could do. Even as we give our hearts to prayer this week, show us what you have for us. Help us to accept it with gladness, peace of heart, and the firm conviction that in spite of what else may topple in the world around us, you will make it good. Oh, Father, grow in us the dreams you've already given us a glimpse of. Grow in us visions with greater clarity that we need to be about blessing your work and making it grow. Let all other pursuits fall aside. We thank you that you made us for even greater. We go from this place watching, waiting, anticipating what you may do, praising you with all our hearts, as is good and meek and right for us to do, remembering the words our Master has taught us to say. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
May the Spirit of the Lord is, there is peace. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is love. There is comfort in life's darkest hour. There is light and life. There is help and power in the Spirit, in the Spirit of the Lord.
Before we stand and sing our closing hymn, I'm just going to ask if someone would bump out into the kitchen and check that we make sure we got the coffee pot turned on. I know we loaded it up, but I'm not sure if anyone turned it on, and it'd be a sad thing to have cupcakes with no coffee. Someone run out and check that. Thank you, brother. All right, please stand with us as we sing our closing hymn, number 143, The Comforter Has Come, number 143.
Spread the tidings round, wherever man is found, wherever human hearts and human woes abound. Let every Christian town proclaim the joyful sound, the Comforter.